Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Going right to the lines. Todd or Billy, my friend, thanks for calling. Todd or Billy in Madison, what's in your mind today?
Matt, this discussion you're having about the Republican Party makes me think about, you know, I'm always amazed at how politicians often, partner up with unlikely partners that they've had, you know, words with or not seen eye to eye with on the past. You know, Ronald Reagan's voodoo economics, that came from George H.W. Bush, and then he became his vice president. And we, I think, all remember Kamala Harris being quite hard on Joe Biden in the debates when she was a candidate for president, and yet then they come together and work together. And so that's kind of the norm in this, the difference in this Republican Party, where the grudges are just so visceral, is really a contrast.
That's a very good point, right? Because George H.W. Bush did go against Reagan very hard. Reagan was the populist and all that, but he realized he needed the old line Republicans, and George H.W. Bush was as old line as you get. His father was Prescott Bush, who was a Republican congressman from Connecticut. So they were very old line type of people. Blue bloods today, they wouldn't stand a chance in either party, but that's what happened back then. And right. And Kamala Harris, quite frankly, people were surprised that he did pick her, because she was more than, you know, attacking him. But in any event, he did. And it worked. It certainly worked and got him elected that time. I agree with you. It's very hard for me to see Trump, after what he said, picking Nikki Haley as VP, or picking somebody like Ron DeSantis. My personal belief, or anybody like Tim Scott, I mean, just doesn't seem, you know, the guy has no presidential chops. None of them have any presidential chops, including Trump, by the way. But my concern is he may pick somebody like Mike Johnson, because Mike Johnson is a man of mystery. He's a mystery man. Mystery man, he leaves no fingerprints. He leaves no footprints. Or does he walk around in velvet slippers? I mean, my God, no one knows where his money goes. He could do something like that. Younger guy who hasn't ticked him off. See what happens. Thanks for calling. Mike from West Bend, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Mike?
Well, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'd like to give you a compliment. As a conservative Republican, I enjoy listening to your show because you're such a voice of reason and common sense.
Thank you.
I may not always agree with you, but you're someone like my friend. I have a lot of Democratic, very liberal friends, and we all can talk about the issues because we all can sit down like adults and work things out. And that's why I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. What's in your mind today? Any special issue?
Yeah, I guess with mine being set is my own party, the Republicans, have lost their mind. And there is no, instead of doing good for the country, they're just playing politics. And what I get so frustrated with Biden is he leans so far to the progressive left, like Republicans are leaning so far to the regret, you know, to the right wing nuts, that he's losing what he's already accomplished. As a businessman, well retired over 20 years, he doesn't get out there and hump what he's got. He's run a good economy. He's got, my God, we're hitting a record on the Dow. People don't realize what he's accomplished, but he's constantly being sucked back in by, and I consider this just nutheads, taking them off on different tangents, just like the right-wing guys, that could cost them the election, because that's just how I feel. There's no common sense anymore.
You know, that there's a lot of truth in what you just said. And Mike, I always appreciate a call from a principal conservative. You're one of them. And I hope you call again. I really do. Thank you. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Hey, the fighting yesterday up in Superior, now that was a big day for Biden. It really looked good, and infrastructure is a big deal. People go to work, and you fix bridges, and you're taking care of your house, so that's a real big deal. And the other thing, point I want to make is, if the Republicans don't go with this bipartisan fix the border deal and Ukraine aid, they own it. They own that. They own that. And Biden is free on that. And I start running ads right away. Hey, we had a bipartisan plan to fix the border, aid to Ukraine and Israel, and the Republicans broke it. So don't look my way. I will say this to end my day here. You know, I've been kind of a lucky man all my life. I served my country. When I got out, I got a good union job. Now I have a pension, Social Security, Medicare. I'm kind of really living a good life. And I think Biden likes the common man. I know he likes union men. And Social Security and Medicare are just great, great programs. You'll learn that when you retire. They're awesome. So it looks like the election is going to come down to Biden and Trump. And I'm definitely going to be riding with Biden. But, you know, after Biden was elected, Bon Jovi did a Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun. And he was like honoring Biden because the sun's back. And what I take from that is Trump is darkness. I mean, it's just darkness. It's just all negative, criminal. I've said this before. I can't think of a law he hasn't broke, but we just can't go back to darkness. Joe looked good yesterday. Please, you know, let's forget about the darkness. And I think you were a Beatles fan yourself, Matt. Here comes the sun again.
That's right. Nothing but the Beatles. I didn't mind the Stones. I didn't mind Hermits for that. Thanks for calling, Paul. Phil of Grant County, thanks for calling. Phil, what's in your mind today?
Old Uncle Joel was up in Superior negotiating for that bridge. I think he put it in the wrong place. Should have put it in Eagle Pass, Texas. So instead of 6,000 a day, he could have 60,000 illegal aliens come in.
No, I like a guy with a sense of humor, Phil. Here's the deal, and Wisco Paul put it, and I think Wisco Paul and I and everybody would agree, we've got to get that immigration under control. Here's the deal. There was a bipartisan negotiating committee, a guy named James Lankford. He is the Republican, a very conservative Republican from Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma, did you ever see the musical? It's a great musical. But the point of the matter is, they're very conservative folks. This guy's very conservative, and he held out for a border deal, so to speak, that finally Schumer and Mitch McConnell signed off on, and Chris Murphy of Connecticut signed off on, and they all signed off on it, and Biden finally said, okay, and it gives not just Republicans, but people like myself as well, who are concerned about the volume of this immigration coming in, who's coming in, exactly what's necessary to stop it. And it would provide for aid to Ukraine, provide for aid to Israel, some aid to Taiwan, and more money at the border to hire more border control. Right now, little known fact, the Mexican army has more people on their side than we do on our side. Now, they're supposedly trying to keep people from crossing over and stopping fentanyl. I'm not at all convinced of it, but in any event, Donald Trump called a couple of these Republicans, Phil, and he said, I need this immigration issue to win in November. And so I don't want any deal unless it's 100%. But even then he wouldn't specify what that is. He is interfering with it. Mitt Romney said, it's appalling. We have a chance to really cut down illegal immigration at the border big time and support our European ally, Ukraine, against the Russians, who used to be communists, and now they're organized crime. You know, they used to be Stalin, now they're Al Capone. They are criminals, the leadership, not the people, the leadership. And so that is what has happened. Moscow Mitch McConnell, I call him Moscow Mitch, as a sort of an affectionate diminutive. He's still trying to stick by it. You have some far right MAGA clowns in the House who won't go for it, but there are about 300 to 350 congressmen who will, and there are about 80 senators who will. And I've got a question, Phil, for you, for Mike, and then for Wisco Paul and people on the liberal side. Why can't 300 to 350 congressmen and 80 senators have their will expressed? Why can't they say, okay, these things will go to the floor and it won't require a rule vote, so it requires two-thirds in the House. Two-thirds is about 270, 275. And we have 300, 350 votes. And in the Senate, if some clown like Tuberville or Rand Paul goes, well, I'm going to do unanimous consent and tell you to jump in the lake. Well, we'll give up 9 Republicans to join the Democrats, you know, bust the filibuster and pass it. Why can't that be done? And the reason it can't be done is because Trump has threatened these people. Trump is not a Republican. The odd thing is he calls himself a rhino. He calls his enemies rhinos. Rhino stands for Republican in name only. The true Republicans are Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, and even a guy like Mitt Romney. Trump is the rhino. He's a Republican in name only. He was a Democrat till he ran. He doesn't care. He changes on a dime. But what he is doing is trying to injure the United States, keep up illegal immigration. He said he hopes that the economy goes bust. And so he can get back in to do what? To do what? He didn't stop immigration while he was in either. In fact, Biden and Obama deported more people than he did. This has got to be done the right way, and it is pending. It can be done the right way. Step away for a second. Coming back, we're going to talk about the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment in Alabama. And then we are going to talk about the Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is tomorrow. Coming up. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, yesterday, Alabama put a guy to death, a guy named Kenneth Smith. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. He murdered somebody, went to trial, jury convicted him. He did it. Then in Alabama, under their law, the jury had to decide, should he get the death penalty? And the jury came back and said, no, he shouldn't get the death penalty. Alabama has a law that a judge can overrule the jury on the death penalty. I think that's an unconstitutional law. But in any event, the judge did overrule the jury and sentenced him to death. He was on death row for a spell, and then they tried to put him to death with lethal injection, and it didn't work, but it inflicted a lot of pain. This has got to stop. When you do that and it doesn't work, that should be the end of it. But then they decided they're going to try something new that's never been used before, which is nitrogen gas. What it is they put a muzzle on you and they pump in nitrogen gas. You have no oxygen to, and then you presumably die. I don't know how long it takes you. I think it takes you a little bit. This is cruel and inhuman. In the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the 10 Amendments, First Ten Amendments, the Eighth Amendment says that you cannot inflict cruel and unusual punishment on people. Now, that goes back in the 18th century where they would torture people. They put them on the rack and stretch them, split them apart. They would do horrible things. And monarchs in England, France, everywhere else would do that to intimidate people. The Ottoman Empire would do it, that kind of thing. Well, our founding fathers said we're not going to have cruel and unusual punishment. So in those days, you know, they'd hang somebody or shoot them, but they wouldn't torture them. The idea is you shouldn't torture people. Now, Wisconsin got rid of its death penalty, I think it was in the 1850s, because some guy got hanged and it didn't go well, and he dangled, you know, sort of gasping for a long time, and people were horrified. And so we haven't had the death penalty in 170 years, roughly. And the odd thing is, in states that don't have the death penalty, like ours, the incidence of crime, really evil type crimes, sensational crimes, they exist, but they're a lot less. When you have a death penalty, you inject a sentiment of state violence into your culture, and that has a terrible effect overall. Terrible effect overall. In 18th century England, if you were caught pickpocketing, you got hanged. You got hanged, really, for pickpocketing. The areas where the pickpockets did most of their work were public hangings. Pickpocket would get hanged, and there's a huge crowd gathering around, cheering, and, you know, I mean, really sick people, and they get their pockets picked. So the point of the matter is, what are we doing? Now, what happened now is in the early 70s, there was a pause put on, there was a question of whether it was an Eighth Amendment issue. In other words, is the death penalty itself in violation of the Eighth Amendment? It's cruel and unusual. So a lot of sentences got commuted, and people didn't get executed in the early 70s anywhere. Sirhan Sirhan was sentenced to death for assassinating Bobby Kennedy. But he was lucky because California changed their law on that, and so he's been in prison for 50 years or 55 years. But when you have a state with a law that says the jury came back and said no death penalty, the judge overrules them, they try to kill him with lethal injection, they fail, causing him a lot of pain and terror, and then he's the first guy that they clap this nitrogen mask on. I think that's wrong. I think we should abolish the death penalty. We've abolished it at the federal level because Biden's in there. It's up to the president. When Trump was in there, he went out and deliberately put people to death. He did, several of them. But the thing that kills me about Trump is he talks a good game. So if somebody holds up a 7-Eleven in Oklahoma and kills the clerk, he gets the death penalty. But everybody that was involved in 9-11, none of them got the death penalty. Many of them were let go and sent back to their home countries. And some of them then took up arms against our people in our soldiers in Afghanistan, for instance. You know, Dr. Tsarnaev, who bombed the Boston Marathon along with his brother, got the death penalty. Under Biden, we're not doing any federal death penalty cases. But where was Trump? You know, the point of the matter is, if you're going to do the death penalty, you can certainly do it in warfare. And if somebody, you can't execute prisoners, that's against international law. But if somebody is caught killing people surreptitiously like that, you certainly can. You may say, okay, well, a guy in Buffalo is facing the death penalty. That's true. New York has a death penalty. That's a state case, not a federal case. The guy, the Manhattan bike path terrorist who mowed people down, the guy from Uzbekistan, prosecution asked for the death penalty in New York, but the jury has to be unanimous and a few jurors wouldn't do it. So he's in prison right now. I think that Wisconsin's approach to this is a very good approach. We're a humane state, but, you know, we enforce the law. You murder somebody, you do these things, you're going to get caught and you're going to get put in prison. But you're not going to be treated sadistically. Nothing cruel and unusual. Very sad. If you take a look at the prisons, especially down in Louisiana and Alabama, terrible article in the New York Times about the prisoners in Alabama. You've heard the kind of the old adage that the prisoners run the prison and all that. But in Alabama, the guards sit in some sort of cage, so they're safe, and everybody's out there doing whatever they want to anybody. And a guy, a terrified guy, comes running up to the cage, and he goes, you got to help me. You know, they're going to kill me. And the guard said to him, son, you better get yourself a knife. That's how they do prisons in Alabama. So this business of letting a judge overrule the jury, that's wrong. Number one, for the death penalty, I mean. Number two, trying to kill him with a bunch of clowns who couldn't do it with lethal injection, and then dragging them back and sticking a mask full of nitrogen on them, when that had never been done before in the United States. There had been absolutely no research, no expert testimony about what that's like. Some states out west, if you want, you can be executed by firing squad. Some states, what they'll do is they'll have 10 guys with a rifle, and only one of them will have a real bullet. So you never can say, I'm the guy that killed them. Hanging is a gruesome way to do it. Some states say you can be, but that's a terrible way. You can hang there, you know, choking and gasping for a long time. There's no nice way to put somebody to death, and I think it is wrong. Coming up, the Holocaust Remembrance Day is tomorrow. Some news, some weather, and it turns out some people in a UN agency were part of the Hamas attackers that brutalized people in Israel on October 7th, coming up. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, I'd like to return to the subject of immigration for just a minute, and I appreciated the callers from the last hour. I'd like to talk to the guy who was interested, or just respond to the guy who was saying, well, maybe we should put up a, you know, a bridge at Eagle Pass down in Texas. And again, I would bring up the point that, okay, it's all well and good to say, gee, there's a problem, but let's start talking about solutions. I would refer to an article that I mentioned previously. You can find it at trac.syr.edu, and it looks at the number of times that employers have been jailed for illegally hiring illegal workers, and no fines, no nothing. So take 1 year. They took 1 year from April of 2018 to March of 2019. And in that year, there were more than 85,000 individuals that were prosecuted for illegal entry into the United States. Now, think of the cost of doing that. You got to process each person, arrest them, process them, and take them out, okay? At the same time, the employers who create this situation with their work, 11 individuals during that year were cited for illegally hiring illegal workers. 7 cases total, no companies. Okay? 11 individuals, 85,000 people trying to get in. How about taking the people who hire illegal workers and put them in prison? The laws are on the books and they are not enforced. And they're not enforced because we like it this way. You had an ad for dairy industry in your break, which was really useful. I really enjoy hearing about what's happening with ag in this country or in our state. And remember that dairy in Wisconsin is a $43 billion industry. And if you look at the dairy industry, it's even different than the seasonal work. For example, people who are brought in to pick blueberries or strawberries or something like that, they come in on a visa that's very different than what's happening with the dairy industry, because those people are, it's short term, whereas dairy is long term. It's every day. You cannot take a break from milking cows. That's the way it is. And they say on Wisconsin farms or across the country, 51% of the dairy workers in this country are immigrants and three quarters of them are undocumented. And in the state of Wisconsin, if we were to follow through with what I just said, that those people who employ illegal immigrants should be facing prison time, the laws exist, boy, there go a lot of dairy farmers, and there goes a big industry in our state, and there goes a lot of farms down the tubes, and there goes a lot of tax money and a lot of community. So what are we going to do? I mean, you talk to farmers, and there's another article I would draw to people's attention. It was done by Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism and WPR. This was done during the Trump administration. It said Wisconsin dairy struggled to keep immigrant workers because they were so afraid of being lost in raids. And this person said, you know, I'm a dairy farmer. I've got 20 to 30 people who work here, and nobody has papers. If you got rid of all of them, they did a raid and took everybody, what are the farmers going to do? The cows will die. The article talked to another person who was a worker on one of the dairy farms, been working there for 17 years. And he made the point in that 17 years, he had never once seen a white person come up to that farm and say, is there work here? Is there work here? Would you like it? Because people know how hard it is. It's very hard work. You go into Wisconsin dairies, and the music you will hear is Spanish music. There's a reason. Okay, what are we going to do? We need to have solutions. And a solution of just saying, we're going to close off the border. Good luck. Good luck to the dairy farmers in the state. Good luck. So I keep repeating it, but I just think we're going to draw a line in the sand and never collaborate. We can't. The way we are in this country, we are dependent on foreign labor to pick crops, to work in our dairies. That's the way it is. If you don't want that, start paying mega dollars for your milk and for your strawberries and for your blueberries and your peaches. So sorry to keep talking on the same line, Matt, but man, it's an important issue. And it seems like saying just, you know, close the border is just not sustainable. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Joe, give that website again or that link slowly so people can jot it down.
Yeah. So the first one that I was mentioning was that it's from Syracuse University. And so they were looking at the number of people who have been prosecuted for illegal employment of immigrants. So the title of it is Few Prosecuted for Illegal Employment of Immigrants. It's from a group called TRAC, T-R-A-C Immigration. The website is TRAC.SYR.edu. And they're the ones that provided the information on the number of people prosecuted for hiring illegals as compared to the number of illegals who come into the country. That's the focus of that. The other article I mentioned was a jointly produced between the Center for Investigative Journalism in the state and WPR. And I can get you that exact, I don't have it right up, so I could maybe call your producer back on Monday and give you that exact highlight, and
right.
I'm happy to do that. So, but at any rate, it is the point that, yeah, you could put employers in jail if you want, but okay, then what? You know, then what? Thanks a lot, yeah. Matt. It's a really important subject. I'm glad you keep bringing it up. Thanks a lot.
Great call, as always, Joe. Thank you so much. Kathy of Forest Park, Illinois, you're next. And everybody else, hang on the line. I'll get you in order. But Kathy of Forest Park, Illinois, you're next.
Hi there, Matt. Just one quick thing to begin with. Reading Milwaukee Jihad, great read. Really can educate you as well as entertain you. And we're glad to have gotten that book. Following up on what Joe was saying, just I think listeners should remember it was Ronald Reagan that opened up the immigration floodgates back when he was in office. And then George Bush followed, and that was so they could get cheap labor into this country because they were anti-union. You know, it's interesting now they want to close the borders. I think to some degree the borders are already closed. But in any event, the third item I wanted to mention, I don't know if you've seen it. There's news being reported that the UN may have employees who helped Hamas during the October 7th atrocity, and that they're saying they may prosecute some of these people and so forth. I think that before it's all said and done, that you're going to find this was a much larger conspiracy. And I know it sounds like I'm a conspiracy nut, but that there were players in all of this that were determined not only to take Israel down, but possibly the United States and the Biden administration. But the source for that was the Huffington Post. They were reporting it this afternoon as breaking news.
Right. Excellent call, Kathy. Thank you so much. Look forward to you calling some more. I'm going to keep going in order. Northwoods Terry, my friend. Thank you for calling. Let's remind you, Northwoods Terry.
Yeah, Matt. Going in line with Joe was talking about, I read an article about the brown people that work in the poultry in Iowa, the poultry industry. 37% are brown people. So if you're going to deport those people, you're going to have a shortage of processed chicken. Therefore, the price is going to go up, and there you go. So there's your food inflation. So that's all I got, Matt.
That's an excellent call, Northwoods Terry. I always like hearing from you. Thank you. Karina of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Karina?
Hi, Matt. So this is just something I'm thinking about, and I cannot make sense out of it because I just simply don't have enough information. Yesterday, I was at the PO office because of the healthcare situation and the mental health and stuff like that. So I was there for my own purposes, for clinics and doctors. And there's a group of people, young people from like early 20s to early 30s, who are also, previous criminals and going through the PO time. And there is a conversation about Trump versus Biden, right? And all of a sudden, I hear this coming up from young people in front of me saying that no matter what we say about Biden, Trump is better for criminals in this country. It's been 24 hours from that point on. I heard that, and I was stunned there. And they couldn't give me obviously facts, but I'm still thinking about it. It's just. What do you think about it? It's just a statement of saying that, you know what, I'm a criminal. I know what I'm talking about it. And when the Trump at the power, it makes it better for us.
Well, here's the way I look at that. At some point, it's satire. That'd be a great scene for a novel. But I've always thought that the Republicans are making a big mistake opposing the right of felons to vote, because I believe that a majority of felons would vote Republican. Certainly the white collar crime people would, but even the others, they like a somewhat shadier party. And so, I'm only being half facetious, Secondly, I have no idea what those people meant by that, meaning better for them. They certainly couldn't mean that they're going to get better health care and financial benefits from Trump. I think it's because the mind of somebody who would commit a criminal offense, and I'm not talking about somebody who's driven out of poverty to do something, but the mind of somebody who would commit a criminal offense is a little off, and it takes one to know one. I mean, I think that's what I get. So I want to say one thing about Kathy from Illinois, which I really appreciated. She mentioned a novel, Milwaukee Jihad. I've mentioned this before. I've written 4 books, and I'm going to give you the titles. And if you enjoy this show and you enjoy history, you enjoy a discussion of it. My latest one is called The Court of Last Resort. Just was released about 4 weeks ago, and it's set in Chicago, The Court of Last Resort. And you'll learn a lot about the law in that one. It's about a renegade judge who decides to take justice in his own hands when defendants get acquitted. The other one, as Kathy said, is called Milwaukee Jihad, and it's about politics in the Middle East and the spillover in this country, and I think you'll enjoy it. The third one is called China Code, and it is about issues with China and coming to this country. These are action novels where they come to kidnap a young math genius, and the CIA and good folks in this country stop them. And the other one is called Confessions of a Church Lawyer. This is nonfiction. And I practiced law, as you know, for almost, well, 40 years. And Confessions of a Church Lawyer, and you'll read some history in that that you may have been unaware of. Tomorrow is Holocaust Remembrance Day, and it's very, very important that that be observed and thought about. And Kathy brought up an issue that is true. The United States has just suspended contributions to one of the United Nations relief agencies because it turns out about 12 of their employees joined with Hamas in brutalizing Israeli citizens. They went in and they tortured them. They not only raped women, but they genitally mutilated them, burned children in front of their parents, and beheaded some people. And these are UN employees. So we're not going to put up with that. The UN has said they're doing an investigation and these people will be criminally prosecuted. But today, the International Court that sits in The Hague issued a decision on South Africa's complaint against Israel. That complaint, the verdict just came in the E. Jean Carroll case, $83.3 million. $83.3 million. Maybe Trump now will realize you don't just walk out and bully everybody and right in the middle of the trial. Holy smokes, $83.3 million. We're coming to a break, but I want to talk about the World Court, what they did. It was an outrage. There's a silver lining, but I want to talk about South Africa's motivation and the illegitimacy of that court. So I'll be come back very, very shortly, and that's what we are going to talk about. What goes on in your mind? You are tearing me apart when you treat me so unkind. What goes on in your mind? Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the line. Don't hang up, but I want to finish this one comment about the World Court. The United States is not part of the World Court. We don't recognize it. Israel isn't either. South Africa, after everything everybody did in the United States and in Israel and everywhere else to secure South African freedom, this is how they repay it. They bring this genocide complaint in the World Court, and it's because the present regime is incompetent down there. They're a bad regime, and they're taking flak, and they decided to side with Hamas to somehow try to curry favor. The World Court, the reason we don't belong, the reason Israel doesn't belong, and a lot of other people, is the World Court is something of a joke. Their judges, they take... Some of these judges are from Africa, from Muslim countries. They come in. When somebody brought a complaint and said, let's the World Court do something about ISIS murdering Christians in Iraq, they said, well, ISIS isn't a government, so we won't do anything. When somebody said, well, let's do something about Hamas, what they did on October 7th, which is torture, it was Nazi-type torture. The problem is we use the word Nazi to describe people of European descent who torture and genocide people. But if it's not, then we don't use the term, which I think is ridiculous. But in any event, they opened a file. There's a file open right now against the United States, by the way, because of Afghanistan, saying that this was somehow an international crime and they're, quote, investigating. Why are we paying these people? Why are we paying these clowns to come in and do this? And the one silver lining is that they did not call for a ceasefire, because I think the United States and Israel and a lot of countries in the West said, if you pull something like that, so they can go in and torture people. And Hamas has said they're going to do it again. They'll do it every chance they can. And they did this to 12-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls. You can't put up with that. Israel's a country that its narrowest is 9 miles and its widest is 80 miles. And you can't tolerate that. So what is accomplished by this? there was some kind of a, they looked on it as, well, you know, just obey the genocide laws. That didn't have to be said. Israel, right, in terms of the genocide laws, it was Hamas that was committing genocide. It's Iran that commits genocide. It's the Taliban that commits genocide. And ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and the Janjaweed and Islamic Jihad, which is what they call themselves, as an umbrella. This is a perversion that's put on its head, and that has to be put in context. South Africa had no, absolutely no basis for bringing this claim. The genocide is the other way. The Jewish people in Israel were subjected to genocide, the people that founded it, in Europe, by and large, and pogroms in Eastern Europe. And they came and they started a nation. And they've offered a two-state solution three times. The Palestinians are very fine people. But their leadership, I think, correctly looked at it and said, we'll be assassinated. Look at Anwar Sadat if we do anything. So it's going to take a lot more diplomacy to finally achieve peace. And I am delighted that Joe Biden is the president. Experienced, strong supporter of our allies, and Israel is our ally and part of the West. Dave in Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, with respect to the International Court of Justice, you know, like the U.S. has a special relationship with Israel. Well, South Africa, you mentioned the government in pretty negative terms. That's accurate. South Africa has a special relationship with Hamas. You know, they have, you know, official visits, et cetera, et cetera. And they made a big deal of, you know, the billionaire heads of Hamas come down there. I don't know if it's on a regular basis, but they certainly do a lot. And Cyril Ramaphosa and the African National Congress, most analysts say they are very likely to lose their majority in the upcoming elections. And so they have nothing to offer the people, that has any traction electorally anyway. And so they offer them, just like Iran does, it has nothing to offer the people. They offer them this fight against Israel. And, you know, it's the same thing as all over the world. You see populist right-wing parties offering now the fight against immigration, you know, and it's the same kind of really racist in many ways playbook. With respect to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, yeah, the Israelis have been complaining about it, and they've had pretty solid evidence that United Nations Relief and Work Agency is filled. It's replete with employees who are members of various terrorist organizations, of course, including Hamas. Now they're totally, the allegation is they're totally controlled by Hamas. So any United Nations, any UNRWA aid, Hamas gets first dibs at that. Just like any aid coming into Gaza Strip, they can decide what to do with it. They can confiscate it, which they do. You know, it costs about $90 million for maybe, I don't know, this is a rough figure, for about 40 miles. And that's a conservative figure, by the way, to make these tunnels. And they've been using all this assistance, all this aid, or a huge chunk of it, I mean, to build a fortress that they can use as a beachhead against Israel and commit these horrible atrocities.
Yeah. No, I wondered, and I think a lot of people wonder, Dave, the hundreds of, when you say hundreds of miles, I've heard figures 300, 400 miles of tunnels that with reinforcements and rooms and all that, it took a lot of money and it took a long time and a lot of money that went, and good charitable money that went to Gaza for the Palestinians themselves, instead of being used to build schools and hospitals and so forth, was taken by Hamas to build these underground tunnels where they developed their weapons and their missiles to shoot at Israel. And then they launched the attack on October 7th. Coming to the end of the show, great callers as always. Everybody out there, have a good weekend. Stand by for another great show, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn will be back same time, same place tomorrow, and I'm signing off for today.
Ah, how does it feel?